city. Discovery, the hallmark of humanity.
Excuse me, do you know the way to Kansas City?
The great shaper of our destiny. The great motivator of our times.
Excuse me, do you know
now, sit back and discover amazing stories. Meet interesting people and learn remarkable facts that have shaped your hometown. This is Kansas City.
Excuse me, do you know the way to Kansas City?
Good evening, Kansas City. I'm Jim.
I'm Brian.
This is Kansas City. Behind the glass, as always, Rudy in his inimitable role.
This is Kansas City.
This is Kansas City.
And you know what? We have a good show tonight, and we have...
Oh, tonight we're going to have a good show, then.
Well, we have a lot of... Well, I have to admit, some of your shows...
Hey, wait a second. I don't know how I
but,
feel about that.
But
tonight...
We have... So, we're sponsored by the KC Referral Network, which is findandrefer.com. And the KC Referral Network will help you find a company, or you can refer a company that is one of your best companies
go
that
to.
You would refer to a friend or a family member. And so we decided last year that we were going to start
the Great Kansas City Business Award.
That's right. And these are businesses that have been nominated
by the public
for excellence in Kansas City.
Exactly. And so we're giving a nominee each week.
We're giving a nominee each week, and I'm telling you that I got this nominee yesterday, and it was amazing to me.
As soon as you told me, I was like, of course they should be.
The story is amazing. It's amazing to me. And so I just want to hear it. And I think
hear
on
the
phone... We
Joining
have
us,
with us
Mary Morella from Function Junction. Mary, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, unabashed fan of Function Junction. I think both Brian and I.
I am.
I've been to...
I didn't even know.
What do you mean you didn't even know?
I didn't know that Mary was there.
Oh.
You didn't? That's a tragedy.
They are located in Crown Center, and... It's amazing, according to our referral.
Well, I could say I could have nominated Function Junction because I had done business with Function Junction. Gosh, it's got to be 20-plus years. You have to have been in business more than 20 years. Is that right?
That's true. I started Function Junction actually in 1977, so that puts us at 44 years as a Kansas City hometown company.
That is beautiful. And let me tell you, going into one of your stores, and I haven't been to the Crown Center store in a number of years, but going into one of your stores, it was like as soon as you went through the doorway, and I'm a guy, right? You were just like, oh, I want to touch some stuff.
That's right. It's kind of a cooking slash hardware store for men, in a sense. And, you know, although interestingly enough, a lot of men do cook and grill and barbecue. And,
I'm one of them.
Yeah, so it's not just a woman's store by any means, although I would say probably 65 to 70% of, you know, our customers are women because historically, you know, women are in the kitchen and cook at home and cook for their families. I mean, that's still true today, but more and more men cook and are a part of the family cooking endeavor. So we have a lot of men customers as well, and so it's more of a family collaborative effort, I think, than it's been in the past. And people are more conscious, I think. One of the things, if there's anything good about COVID, is that people got more involved in family eating and family cooking. And that was a real eye-opener to people that, wait, we need to sit down and eat together and cook together.
I love the idea, particularly in light of the emergence of these HelloFresh and the boxes of stuff that come to your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
they want you to make stuff, and they say, well, all you got to do is mince. And you're like, well, how do I mince?
What does that word mean?
And well, if you're like, Brian knows all this stuff, and he's got all the tools all bad.
I am a chef, so I do all of the cooking.
Do-do.
Do-do. and I do all of the cooking, but I'm you were nominated by Mary, who was a shopper there, I think, yesterday.
That's what I heard. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she said that the spices and some of the things, the seasonings and some of the things, when I saw her email, I said, I've got to call Mary.
Go ahead.
That's exciting. No, that's exciting for us. We take pride in a couple of things. I purchase all the items that we sell, and that is my passion, selecting and identifying the items that are in the store. And we sell close to 4,000 different items. So that's something I enjoy doing. And you mentioned tools, because we do call them kitchen tools. And one of my objectives is to provide kitchen confidence, because when someone says you need to mince something, then what tool do you really need to use to mince and have success? If you don't have success, then we haven't done our job, and I in turn haven't done my job to be sure that you have an end result that gives you that kitchen confidence and your family has a meal that you're proud of, right?
Exactly.
So that's the goal here, to make sure that you're happy and you have a really good meal to put on your table.
So there's two things that she mentioned in the email, and I'm just going to... One is a popcorn seasoning in varieties of flavor, even a caramel and a bacon.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
That's amazing. You just sprinkle it on top of the popcorn?
Right. So you make your popcorn. We have probably six different ways to make popcorn. Stovetop popcorn, micro popcorn, all different options of how to make the popcorn. And the second phase of that is, what do you do with it? And we probably have 15 different popcorn seasonings, of which, believe it or not, dill pickle is the number one selling popcorn
what?
Seasoning.
Dill pickle on popcorn.
Absolutely.
It's
yep.
a seasoning, Jim.
Oh, no, I get it. I just, and I like dill pickles, and I love popcorn.
Love it.
I've just never thought about the two together.
Me neither.
Right? And we have baby back ribs. We have French toast. There's a wide variety. So popcorn is think about it. It's always popular. It's for kids. It's for adults. You're sitting home. You're watching TV more frequently now, be it, you know, your Netflix or what have you. And what do you want to chomp on? If it's not overly fattening, it's popcorn, right? And
sure.
So now we have all these seasonings. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I'm having dill pickle popcorn tonight.
There you go. And now you know where to buy it.
I think it's wonderful. And then she mentioned all of your different, your towels that have all the logos.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
So I source towels from probably 15 different places throughout the country. Interestingly enough, many of them are small, woman-owned company. So Function Junction really strives, that's my goal, to support small independent companies. And I said, many of them are women-owned companies. They have funny phrases on them. They make people laugh. So, you know, for under $10, you can give somebody a housewarming gift or give one of your family members a gift, and you're going to get a chuckle out of it. And I can tell you that people come, they look at the window in the store, and they just sit and roar. And it is, I think we sell right now probably 100 to 120 different towels that just make people laugh. And they, some are outrageous, some are just warm and fuzzy, but they have the funniest phrases. I love it when I'm in the store and people are just chuckling and they just belly laugh in the store.
Brian, I've got one here for you. It's "My dog and I talk about you." Although it's there's another word. There's another word added between there. Get ready. Happy birthday right now. I'll just say it right now, Brian. Happy birthday. Mary, where do you find all the stuff that you put inside of your stores?
Well, that's a great question. And so, you know, I do a number of things. So there's pre-COVID and there's COVID, right? So pre-COVID, I travel around the country and also internationally to various trade shows and source products, meet with suppliers, and look for new products. That's what I love to do. I started in retail when I was 15. My goal in life was to be a retail buyer. I love looking for product and new and innovative things. That's my personal passion. So becoming an entrepreneur and running my own business was what I wanted to do. And I haven't stopped loving it. So I never go to work every day. This is a joy for me for 44 years. So I love it.
Outstanding.
And so it's fun. And then the second part of it is I meet with many independent representatives, small business people. There's a young woman right now out of Olathe. She's a small entrepreneur. She's brought new products to me. She called me up one day and said, can I meet you? I said, sure. I met her in the store. She brought me a bunch of new products. We tried it. We tested it. We're helping her. You know, we help small businesses. There's a man who's a veterinarian, and he has honeybees. And so we sell his honey from South Johnson County in our stores, local honey. Mm. So
that honey is great for people with any kind of allergies,
mm-hmm.
because if you buy local honey,
it helps with the local
immune system. Yeah. Exactly.
It's so much better than buying just some national brand of
because
honey.
It's from the region. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, you're the last Function Junction left.
Well, all the Function Junctions were my business, and we had 17 stores in our heyday.
That's amazing.
And, yes. And so we were in five different cities in the Midwest. This store at Crown Center is our last brick-and-mortar store, but we do have functionjunction.com, so we're also online with e-commerce. But over time, the business has evolved. You know, it's ever-changing. All businesses are changing. So, yes, this is our last brick-and-mortar store, but it is still a joy for me to have a brick-and-mortar store. I am a brick-and-mortar retailer at heart. And
me
that's
too.
What I love doing.
I'm a brick-and-mortar shopper. I can't buy stuff online.
Good.
So I'm going to tell you this, Mary. I'm coming down tomorrow.
Okay.
Don't buy that towel. I've already got it with your
Didn't
name
be
on
there. When you pop in the store, you'd say, Mary's probably at the office. Give her a call. Say, Brian is here, and I'll just walk over and say hi, and I'll sell you that towel.
No, you can't sell him the towel. You got to sell Jim the towel. Jim's buying the towel as his gift.
Now, you have a lot of other things in that store.
Of course.
I mean, the amount of items you have in that store, it's almost like a candy store for adults.
Sure.
I like that it sounds. That's good.
Yeah. I was thinking sort of like a toy store.
It's wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. And I am so glad that you've been nominated. And you know what? I'm voting for you because...
You can't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Although I concur.
Well, just keep shopping and let all your friends and family know. And I'm thrilled to be nominated and supported, and this has been a great pleasure to speak with you and your listeners. So
it was beautiful. It was beautiful to be reacquainted with Function Junction. I got to be honest, when Brian called me and said, the nominee for this week, what do you think? And I went, oh, my God, I haven't been there in forever, but I love it. And now that I see, unlike Brian, I love to shop online, so it won't bother me a bit. I hope the online shop is 10 times, 15 times bigger than any single brick-and-mortar store. Not that I don't want the brick-and-mortar stores to do well. I just happen to think, you know.
See, we can make both of you happy.
You can make a huge
win-win
audience,
right?
Reach.
Everybody will be happy.
Mary, how do they get hold of Function Junction?
Well, you can come to Crown Center and shop at Crown Center easily, and you can go to functionjunction.com and shop online. So either way, we're
Beautiful.
Here for you.
Beautiful.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Mary, thanks very much for your time, and congratulations.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
We've got to take a quick break, pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to dig into the world of outlaws in Kansas City.
Yes.
This is Kansas City. Oh, this is a good choice.
We got to let it play out.
Sorry.
Let's just listen to the whole song. Well, the focus today is a lot of different shows that we do. We focus on some kind of Kansas City history.
Sure.
Right? And did you know that Kansas City has a deep history with Old West outlaws?
Of course I did.
You did not.
I did.
You did not.
How far back do you want to go? 60s?
No, I'm telling the 19 before 1900.
The 1860s.
Between the 1850 and 1900.
Okay.
This was a kind of an old West town. A lot of people
Absolutely.
Don't know how many of these so-called gangsters, train robbers,
legends,
horse thieves, cattle rustling, shootouts,
murderers
took place in our town
or very close by.
Or very close by.
Sure.
It's kind of amazing to me because
I mean, we've mentioned, it seems to me, didn't we talk about in a past show about how Wild Bill had property nearby?
Wild Bill did have property, a lot of property.
Yeah. And
yeah.
He at that time, he was still a lawman.
He was a lawman, yes.
And sold it and then continued on west.
But
there were a lot of darker guys.
A lot of these were what you would call outlaws. Started out as lawmen, and then...
The line was very blurry in those days.
It was.
A lot of people became lawmen just so that they could take care of a vendetta.
Yes.
And they would put the badge on, kill somebody legally, and then take the badge off.
And that's kind of, you know, the way it looks like it's going now. Sorry. We won't get into that.
I happen to have a great deal of respect for most of our friends in the law enforcement community. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jim, yes? The most notorious... No, I'm talking about just people, you know, people on the street. I mean, we've got to... the most notorious outlaw in the Wild Wild West from Kansas City.
Oh,
well, actually born in Clay County, Missouri in 1847 was...
Jesse James.
Of course.
And Frank.
And Frank. Jesse James grew up as part of a family that...
Kearney, right?
At
Wasn't
that
it
time, it was Clay County,
okay,
Missouri. Probably Kearney. I don't know.
I know that the family farm and museum is in Kearney.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's in Clay County.
Correct. I believe so.
As a teen in 1864, Jesse James and his brother Frank James joined a guerrilla unit.
Right. Was that Quantrell?
They were responsible for, I'm not saying, shooting dozens.
Was this the Lawrence?
Yes.
The Quantrell's Raiders.
Quantrell's Raiders.
Into
Who,
yes, Lawrence.
Yes.
Okay.
At times, he referred to himself as a modern Robin Hood.
Yes.
Robbing from
the rich, the banks.
And giving to the poor. However, there's no evidence.
There's not a lot of evidence that he gave away a lot.
Gave to the poor. So we're not really sure about that one.
He had really good PR. Because for a very long time, I can remember as a small boy, that was what we were told. You know, he was kind of like the American Robin Hood. Like, oh, okay, I kind of get it. Did he hang out in the woods? Oh, yeah, had to hang out in the woods. Couldn't be around civilized folk.
Yeah.
The sheriff of Nottingham was after him. And the sheriff of Clay County and probably Jackson County, Platt.
Yeah, he was... But he was all over. So
he
was Missouri, he was Iowa, he was Texas, he was West Virginia. Between 1860 and 1882, they were believed to have committed more than 20 bank robberies with an estimate gain. Now, we're talking the 1800s, right?
Right.
Of $200,000.
Adjusted for inflation, that would be what?
It'd be $2.2 billion.
He could have been president. He could have been president.
Now, here's the thing, though. When he would, and he was very, very daring.
Yes.
So he would do these robberies during the day.
Yeah, didn't he perform the first daytime bank robbery?
Yes, he did. But he would rob these trains.
Right.
Yeah. And he would go up during the day with these trains. Now, he wouldn't rob the individual people in the trains. He would go to the safe that was carrying all the money.
Because when you put your money on the train in the safe, it now was insured.
Right.
So the railroad took some responsibility.
Yes.
And they charged you a fee to handle your money on the trip.
Right. As his newspaper fame grew, people grew to love him as a modern day Robin Hood.
Yeah. So, sort of like Bonnie and Clyde in a way.
Kind of in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of in a way. And it was amazing because...
Now, at the time, he was shot. He was shot from behind by a member of his then gang.
Yes.
Weren't they actually... And this is one of them that's a little vague to me. As I understood it, they were actually planning a resurgence. And they were planning a bank robbery.
They were.
So he hadn't redeemed himself fully.
No, not really. In 1881, the governor of Missouri issued a $10,000 reward. Now, back then, you got to remember the price of $10,000 is probably worth...
$1 billion.
Yeah, $6 trillion. Reward to capture James and Frank.
Frank and Jesse.
On April 3rd, 1882, at the age of 34, James was shot and killed. So, by Robert Ford. Robert Ford, yes.
The coward Robert Ford.
Who was guilty of murder and then pardoned by the governor.
By the way, Frank never went to jail.
No, but 15.8 miles from Lake Lotawanna, Missouri, Hill Park Cemetery is known for... the burial site for Frank and Jesse James.
I did not know that.
Yeah. 15.8 miles from Lake Lotawanna, Missouri.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't bury them on the homestead?
Nope.
Back in Kearney?
Nope.
Huh. I wonder why. And they had to travel past it. I mean, he was shot in St. Joe, so they brought him down farther south than Kearney.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder why.
Hey,
do we have to take a break?
Let me see. Hey, let me introduce our next one.
Oh.
Now, you've heard of Billy the Kid, haven't you?
I have heard of Billy the Kid.
Whose name was?
Ooh, New York boy. What was his name?
William Bonney.
Bonney, yeah.
But he started out with Henry McCarthy.
That was his birth name?
That was his first name. First. Not his first name, his first name before he changed it to William Bonney.
Oh, you could just change your names back in those days.
I guess so. Then he became
Billy the Kid,
known as Billy the Kid. But do you know Billy the Kid has a history here?
Get out.
I'm not kidding.
Ooh, that's something I want to know about.
Will
we learn more about that after this break?
We will.
That's the way I hang this thing up, baby. Nicely done. We'll be right back. We have provided a wealth of opportunities. Right now, our man back there behind the glass, Rudy is just having a great... He's like, I'm going to be playing music. We never play.
I love that.
This is awesome. Thank you, Rudy.
I all of a sudden remembered this one from Blues Brothers.
Oh,
yeah, Rawhide.
Yep. Yes.
Which was a great TV series that brought to the attention Clint Eastwood. Sorry. Go on.
So, a lot of people don't think that Billy the Kid had roots in Kansas and around this town, but he did. So, the outlaw, Billy the Kid,
yes,
known as previously William Bonney, was actually, they think he was born in New York,
yes,
but then he did move to Kansas before
what?
He moved to Santa Fe.
I didn't know that.
He lived in Kansas. And then moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
No kidding.
And they say, well, the details are a little bit murky. They did know he lived in Kansas.
Okay.
And here's, you know, he rode in his gang from Nebraska through Kansas to Oklahoma down to Texas. They say that he killed 21 people before he turned 21 years old.
Sort of like a golf score. You know, those guys that want to shoot their age.
Yeah. He was born in 1859.
Okay. Any idea when he was in Kansas City area?
Well, later he moved to Kansas, and his family then settled in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He was orphaned then.
I did hear that.
And his mother, who was the only one left, died of tuberculosis.
Is that why they went to the Southwest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A lot of people did that.
And then he was in foster homes. Probably shot them. I don't know. it wasn't pretty long before he took up theft and all of that. In September of 1875, he was arrested for stealing clothes from a Chinese laundry.
Oh.
And, you know, he was taken to jail, but he escaped. He was like the most notorious gangster escape artist there was. I mean, he could escape from any jail.
The Houdini of the 1870s.
He was like the outlaw Houdini. I mean, he climbed up the chimney inside to get out of the jail.
He must have been a very small guy.
Well, he wasn't that big, no.
Yeah.
You and I would never make it.
Oh, I'd never make it.
No.
I don't understand how Santa pulls it off.
Well, me neither.
Hmm.
But then he got together with an Arizona gang. But I thought it was amazing that he had roots in Kansas.
Absolutely. By the way, during the break, I got a little note sent to me about the Youngers, which were, they were an offshoot of the James gang. So Jesse and Frank gang, Jesse and Frank James started a gang. Cole Younger and some of his brothers were a part of that gang. Jesse, of course, is killed. Frank goes straight. The Youngers then take up and start to, well, we're going to do bank robberies. Of course, they weren't necessarily as good, certainly without Frank and Jesse. And so they met their demise shortly after becoming, you know, a solo act. then I looked this one up. I love this one. The Dalton Gang. You've heard of the
I love that.
And do I remember that there was a movie done back in the 70s where a bunch of acting brothers played the roles of the Dalton brothers and the Younger brothers and the James brothers?
Yeah, I love that story. Yes, there is.
And the Daltons, they have the unique position of having been the first one. We were talking about Jesse, first one to do a daylight bank robbery. The Dalton gang were the first to attempt to rob two banks simultaneously in Coffeyville, Kansas, and they were just cut down. Dalton brothers, in fact, two of the four Dalton brothers were killed.
October 5th, 1892.
That horrifyingly bad idea. Well, let's just split up. You guys take the bank on the left. We'll take the bank on the right. Do any of us have the ability to do this on our own? No.
But Emmett Dalton.
Emmett Dalton. Yeah,
survived.
Survived and went on to...
But wait a second.
Became an actor, right?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Receiving 23 gunshot wounds.
That day?
That day. 23.
And these are the ball, the steel balls that
those
were coming through.
Those, I mean, he served 14 years in Lansing.
Yeah. So they fixed him up, sent him to Lansing.
Yeah, 14 years.
14 years. He comes out.
He comes out.
And then he becomes an actor.
Right.
And he dies like in the 1920s, I want to say.
Yeah.
Like, holy smoke. Some of these guys, I mean, their lives.
Coffeyville, Kansas.
We should be making movies still about some of these people.
I know. It's kind of amazing, the history that went through this town. Let me tell you real fast.
Yes.
Let me tell you some of the other people that you wouldn't believe came through this town or stayed for a while.
Trump?
Oh, well, he did come through this town.
Yeah.
But he's a hero.
Well, I thought we were still doing outlaws this week. Sorry, go on.
We are, but we're not going to mention Biden.
Hero. That was a good speech last night.
Doc Holliday?
Doc Holliday.
You know Doc Holliday.
I do. Lunger.
From?
A dentist from Georgia.
He was a dentist from Georgia, and he made his way through Kansas City, stayed here for quite a while.
Really?
Before
was he doing dentistry then, or was he already into the gambling?
Well, he he left. He wasn't in dentistry, and he stayed somewhere near the records show that he stayed somewhere near the Westport area.
That makes sense.
And because it was a kind of a trail out to, and he was making his way to Tombstone.
And he was headed to,
Yeah.
Didn't he end up, he went from here to Dodge, as I recall, which is where he met Wyatt Earp.
Who
also was here at some point.
Wyatt Earp also came through the town, and he was an American law man, so we're not talking about, now I know, don't give me that.
What did I do?
He was a lawman.
Probably.
Cattle rustling.
Maybe.
He protected, you know.
Certainly, he certainly made some money off of gamblers. There's no question he made money off of gamblers, whether it's because he owned a part of a saloon or because he blackmailed them to keep them from going to jail. But
does
yes.
That was legal. Does it matter?
Was it legal?
Gambling?
No, I mean the blackmailing part.
Back then, probably.
Okay.
I don't know. But it was a, it was, it's an amazing story how many of these
legends
people, legends came through.
John Wesley
here.
Harden came
yeah,
through here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he killed somebody in Kansas City.
Hey,
or at least
you're
he took
on
credit
your computer.
For it.
Look up sure. Look up Rowdy Joe Lowe.
Rowdy Joe
L O W E, born in 1845.
Was a gambler and saloon keeper slash owner of the Old West. Although sometimes described as a gunslinger, he did not historically fit into that category. Originally from Illinois, he and his wife, a.k.a. Rowdy Kate, moved to Kansas City following the Civil War. Wow.
Yeah, and his wife and him. Now, you were talking about Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Tell me if that's not the real Bonnie and Clyde right there.
Ooh, it, yeah, she.
Oh, they were.
She might have been the brains of the outfit.
They were.
I'm reading this right now, and she didn't like one of the competing brothels.
No.
So she took a gun over there to make things right, I guess. And
yeah.
It looks like Joe found out. And so he went over with his gun, and because of what they did, they then had to move to Wichita.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, there's so much history with gangsters and with what we call gangsters or notorious...
Or outlaws.
Outlaws. Yeah.
Living just on the outside.
Old West.
Sure.
You know.
These are some... I wouldn't want to have been hanging out with them necessarily, but I'd kind of like to watch from a safe distance, you know, up on the ledge.
Yes, and it's kind of the history. You know, we've talked about so many times how much history our town, our community has, and we do have that kind of history. And that's what this is Kansas City is all about.
Good call. Nicely done. Now, we've got to take another break. When we come back, friend of the show is going to be joining us, right?
Yes.
Is he an outlaw?
He's not an outlaw.
He's probably the very antithesis of an outlaw.
No, but he insures them.
And he could insure you, too. Stay tuned. I'm really surprised he didn't do the Blues Brothers version.
Rolling, rolling,
wait.
Rolling, though the streams are swollen.
I thought that was the Blues Brothers.
No. That was from the original, right? Isn't this from the TV series?
This is the Blues Brothers.
Get
but this
out.
Is not from
I
the
told
movie.
You.
This it's not from the movie. It's them like in
an
like
SNL
their soundtrack,
sketch?
Like them in studio re-recording the songs.
Gotcha. Okay, mine got past me. Welcome back to This is Kansas City. Jim and Brian bringing you the history of Kansas City, one bite-sized element at a time.
Yes.
We've covered a lot of cool people today.
We have.
And we started the show with a cool person on the phone with us.
Yes, we did.
So now there's a lot of pressure for the last caller of the day to be equally cool. Joining us on the phone line, friend of the program, Stuart Woodbury from Low Cost Life Insurance. Stuart, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, are you going to be a cool voice on the radio with us today?
The coolest.
The cool. Oh, yes. Beautifully done.
Now, Stuart, this is Brian, and welcome to the show. Stuart, when we were talking earlier, a lot of people buy insurance for their house. They buy insurance for their car. They buy insurance for their valuables. But one thing that they might miss is the insurance for their life.
Absolutely, Brian. And, you know, life insurance, when you stop and think about it, when you buy a car, what do you buy insurance for? If you wreck it, right?
Right.
You buy insurance on your home so that if a tornado blows it away or burns down, you've got that risk offset. Life insurance, the goal and the risk we are attempting to offset is loss of income due to your premature death. Now, there are companies out there, fellas, that will try to sell products that, in my humble opinion, represent their best interest, not the listeners. And the idea of combining life insurance and investments from within that same offering, a whole life or a universal life type of coverage, those products, again, in my judgment, you stay away from those. You want to buy term life insurance over the period of time between now and retirement so that you can mitigate the risk of loss of income due to premature death between now and then. The best life insurance, guys, that you can have from, say, age 70 forward, God willing, then the idea then is to eventually self-insure that risk.
You know, I pay probably $120 a month for my car insurance, and I have never had a speeding ticket. I have never gotten in an accident. The car looks brand new, and I still pay that every month. So is life insurance affordable?
Oh, without a doubt. Let me give you a couple of examples. Number one, how about a 40-year-old male that's a non-smoker and otherwise in good health can get a $1 million 10-year term policy for less than $27 per month? Let's not forget the ladies in the audience, because if you're a female, same profile, a female non-smoker otherwise in good health, can get a $1 million 10-year term policy for less than $24 per month. Very, very affordable to protect the family. And remember, the risk that we're attempting to offset is loss of income due to premature death. That's it.
Well, that's amazing. That is really amazing. I mean, for a $1 million policy for a 40-year-old is less
than your car insurance.
Car insurance.
You must be driving a heck of a car.
No, I think it's only worth $20,000. I don't even know if it's worth that.
And you pay that every month, Brian.
Every month. Every month. For the last.
As long as you have the car, right?
As long as I have the car.
Well, and again, I think, guys, that the timeline, speaking of that, you know, that we're trying to make sure that that protection is afforded is between now and the time that you retire, because I ask people all the time, you know, once you get into your 70s and 80s and, again, God willing, 90s, why do you need life insurance then? What risk are you trying to offset? What impact will your premature death have at that time in relation to your income? And for most people, once you've got enough money set aside, accumulated enough wealth, paid down your debts, kids are grown and gone, hopefully. But at that point in life, all the reasons that you think about life insurance, they're gone. And the reasons that you think about it now are perfectly appropriate because, again, you've got people counting on your income. And if you were to pass away, we want to make sure that that risk is offset.
Right. And so what we're doing is we're preparing to take care of our family just in case.
That is exactly right. We, in the event of that premature death, I think you hear an awful lot of firms out there that do talk about, and I think it's important that we make sure the listeners understand, you know, the differences between the concept I'm discussing and I'm sharing with you versus what they may hear from and have probably heard over the years about using life insurance as, you know, an investment strategy. I just think it's really, really important that they understand why they're buying the insurance and what the specific purpose of that is. The two most common questions that we get is, number one, how much? So how much life insurance should I get? As a rule of thumb, Not always. Some folks need more, some folks need less, but as a rule of thumb, we recommend approximately 10 times annual income. So if you're making 50 grand, you should probably be looking at somewhere, you know, in that 500,000 range. If you're making, you know, 100,000, we'd want to look at a million. And then, you know, as far as the duration of time, it's somewhere around age 70. After 36 years in practice, guys, I just don't talk to very many people over the age of 70 that still need my help. At that point, again, they've got plenty of money set aside, no debt, kids are grown and gone. They just don't need life insurance from that point forward.
Well, and that makes sense because when somebody's in their 20s and 30s, but they do have a family, they might not think that they need life insurance. They might not think that that's a good idea. I'm in perfect health. I don't know. But you can't be certain of anything that could happen. And so it's better to protect for $27 a month or less or whatever you know, on the 40-year-old male. But,
sure.
You know, it makes sense to protect your family so that they can...
Yeah, if you think about it, why does the government make us insure our homes?
Yes.
Because there's somebody who's lent us the money, and they need to make sure that if something happens, that house gets rebuilt. Why do you have the $120 a month payment on the insurance for your car? Because if something happens, you want the car again, right?
Right.
So if you're getting life insurance, if something happens to you on the way home, do you want to make sure that the wife and kids, the husband and kids, whoever it is, your loved ones, are able to survive what happened? Of course you do. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That is exactly right, guys. And I think one of the things that we do that's a little bit different, once we've determined the amount of coverage and have that policy set up, all too often it's so easy to forget about it. Maybe you've got your wife as the beneficiary, but then you do some estate planning, you have a trust set up, you forget to change the beneficiary. You move. You forget to change your address. If you're paying your premiums automatically on a monthly ACH, you switch banks and forget to tell the insurance company. There's a litany of things that can change over time. We do an annual review where we button those items up. We go through a little checklist. Myself and my team will go through that checklist to make sure that everything from within the coverage that you have, the amount of coverage, the duration of time left. We make sure that the policy is still fitting the needs at that time.
Stuart, our folks need to get in touch with you. They find you at 816-792-0700. Do I have that right?
That is exactly right, 816-792-0700. And guys, our website, super easy, low-cost life insurance. That's all one word, all spelled out. lowcostlifeinsurance.com.
Stuart, thanks very much for the time.
Hey, Stuart.
Yes.
Repeat that for me one last time. How do they get hold of you?
816-792-0700. Again, 816-792-0700. And the website is lowcostlifeinsurance.com.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
Thanks, Stuart.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, Brian, today on the show, we've handled all sorts of fun.
Well, we started with Function Junction.
Function Junction. See, it starts with fun.
Which is the nominee
for
the Great Kansas City Business Award.
Those awards will be the gates open in December for everybody to vote.
Go to findandrefer.com.
Nominate a friend business.
Nominate a friend or nominate a business that you think is worthy of this award. Opening December. We'll open voting in December. And then we had some Kansas City history with outlaws.
A lot of outlaws came through here.
A lot of outlaws. A lot of people shot, right? Then we brought in life insurance.
And then we wrapped it all up with a nice tidy bow. Here's how you pay for all of that damage that's been done.
Well, you know.
Next week, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Overland Park.
Overland Park will be fun.
Yeah.
I know Overland Park pretty well.
Well, there's a lot going on in Overland Park, and you know what? It's big now.
It is big. It's a very big town.
Yes.
All right. Brian, we'll see you next week. Rudy, take care of yourself. I'm going to go out on the soccer pitch. Good night, everybody. I'm going to be standing on the corner, 12th Street and Vine, with my Kansas City baby in
same. If I have to walk, I'm going just the same.